I'll start off by reading from Matthew chapter 19, from the first verse. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him. And he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." Then said to him, "Why then did Moses give to them a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" He said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you divorce your wives, but it was not so from the beginning. From the beginning, it was not so." You see, this is going to, form, the core of this message on the original model of marriage from the beginning. Because Jesus already indicates there is a particular model that was from the beginning, a model that the scribes and Pharisees were not even aware of, a model that Moses could not hand over to the children of Israel because of the hardness of their heart. Hallelujah. Let us understand that when God talks about the beginning is simply the originality of all things. The beginning talks about the truth, the way it is in God. The beginning does not talk about 7,000 years ago or 8,000 years ago. Because men are fond of trying to equate the things of God with perishable parameters like time. But God lives in eternity. God does not have a beginning, neither does he have an end. Most people will find this hard to understand because they have identified themselves with some kind of beginning when they were born into this world. But God is not so. God has been and will always be. So when you talk of the beginning in God, you are talking of the originality of all things, the way it is in God. And Jesus Christ descended from the bosom of the Father to reveal the things that be of God. He descended from the Father to cause a restoration of the original design of God. Jesus Christ never came to make anything new, but simply to restore, to bring back the souls of the lost sheep back to their stall, back to their place in God, where they can find peace, safety, and abundance once more. Hallelujah. So there is a marriage model from the beginning, which God, the model that men of this age are actually accustomed to, is a mistaken model, which is only a shadow of the real eternal model that was from the beginning with God. When Moses handed over the commandment to the children of Israel, they actually received a veiled commandment. That which God intended to hand over to the Israelites initially was broken at the foot of the mountain. Because by the time Moses ascended up the mountain to receive of the original commandments from the tablets of stone which God carved out for himself and handed to Moses, the children of Israel, by that time, were already, you know, worshipping idols. They had already, you know, formed a golden calf and started to worship it, saying that this was the God that delivered them out of the land of Egypt. You can see that the people were intent on being ungodly. They had a beastly mind frame, a mind frame that is set on a material world. And God had always warned them that they should remember when he appeared to them upon Mount Sinai, they never saw a particular form. God is spirit, and the things that pertain to God are totally, completely spiritual. So you can see that they were not worthy to receive of the commandments as a result of the hardness of their hearts. They had a veiled heart. The heart was veiled so that they couldn't receive that commandment from God. That which they received was a version that was carved out by Moses and written by Moses. If you remember, even when Moses appeared to them, they couldn't even look upon the face of Moses. Moses had to cover his face while reading out the commandments to them, meaning that they were receiving a veiled version of the Word of God. You see, and when you receive a veiled version of the Word of God, it only leads you to greater captivity, greater bondage, greater sin consciousness, and death. So that's why the children of Israel never could prosper in their ways. They never could please God. You see, they never actually attained to the fullness of God's blessings. If you read the blessings that God promised the children of Israel, you will discover that they never truly attained to that blessing. Because they never heard from God. They never received the truth. But thank God, because Christ is here in our midst, not to abolish the word, not to abolish the law, but to cause us to fulfill it. We fulfill the law only as we perceive it in its entirety, as we can receive the truth the way it is in the mind of God. Hallelujah. Some of these things we are going to share today might be a bit deep. These are things that people might not be able to accept except it is given to you from above. In fact, if you read down in Matthew chapter 19 verse 9, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committed adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive these sayings, save to him whom it is given. Hallelujah. If you are listening to this message today, realize that the Lord is trying to impart deep spiritual truths that will cause you to inherit all, that will cause you to blossom and prosper in all. Hallelujah. All we need to do is to seek the truth of God, seek the things that be of God, and all other things will be added to us. Amen. The issue now is that in the ways of this world, we have sought the things of the world and neglected the things of God. When all we actually require is to hang on to the truth, unite with the truth. Hallelujah. And the blessings of God will be ours. Amen. Now let's quickly go to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 is a book of the beginnings. A book of the beginnings, so that we can understand certain things that pertain to God. We can understand the way God planned out things from the beginning in Him. Because Genesis chapter 1 reveals a perfect model. How many of us realize that if God puts His hand to do something, it must be a model without flaw, without mistake. God does not make mistake. God is not a man that can repent. When God created in the beginning, the Bible says He saw that it was good. So if we see anything in our life that is not classified as good, the Lord's hand is not in it. When God created man in the beginning, God created man in His image and in His likeness, like God. Seeing man means seeing God. What you actually see in that creation in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 is God manifesting Himself as man. Very much the same mystery of godliness that Paul talked about in a letter to Timothy. That is the invisible God. Hallelujah. The one who is from the beginning, appearing as man, revealing Himself as man. So that when you see man, you see God. I can assure you that these men you see outside today, roaming this world, are not exactly the same man that God created in the beginning. Jesus was the first to actually reveal this model, this perfect model, to mankind. Because Jesus walked in the image and in the likeness of God. Paul says that He is in the image of the invisible God. And the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him. Hallelujah. That was the model in which Christ Jesus adhered to. And this is the model that is actually blessed of God. When God created man in His image and likeness, God gave him dominion. God gave him, authority to rule and reign over all the works of His hands. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that God gave him, blessed him, and made him, fruitful to multiply. Hallelujah. He made, He gave him everything for food, for His enjoyment, for His pleasure, so that he lacked nothing. And when God blesses, God blesses. You see, if we see anything apart of the blessings of God in our lives, it's simply because we have not walked in this model. And God wants to bring us back into this model that was from the beginning. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that the intention of God is to gather everyone into Christ, into that man that is known of God, that man who is in the image and in the likeness of God. That's why we have messages today like this. That's why the Lord is giving us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we can be, restored back to that state of perfection where we can realize unlimited spiritual blessings. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. Now let us go deep, because hidden within these verses in Genesis chapter 1 is that original marriage model that was from the beginning. Hallelujah. Now let's go on. I'm going to start from verse 26, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his image, and in his own image, and in the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over everything that moveth upon the earth." Hallelujah. "And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, for it shall be for meat." Hallelujah. Amen. Now if you go to verse 31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and morning were the sixth day." Hallelujah. The sixth day God created man in his image and in his likeness. Male and female, he created them. Isn't it a bit? Look at the language there. If you go to the book of the generations, or the genealogy of man, generations of man, you can see that Genesis chapter 5 verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. "In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam." Hallelujah. "In the day that they were created." Hallelujah. You see, this is God's work. This is God's work of perfection. This is the model from the beginning. God created man. Male and female, he created man. Oh, hallelujah. That man that was created in the beginning is male and female. Hallelujah. And their name was called Adam. It's one man composed of male and female. Hallelujah. What God was trying to demonstrate here is a mysterious marriage model, so that the male and the female form that one man that is created in the image and in the likeness of God. And in this one man lies the blessings of the living God. Because when God created him, God blessed him. "Be fruitful, be and multiply. have dominion, rule over all, reign as God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, in this natural earth, have you seen marriages in the church where you have the officiating minister, you know, the bride and the bridegroom, they exchange vows, and you know, the officiating priest or the minister, you know, blesses them. You see it? He blesses them and he joins them together and he presents them to the world and says, from this day onward, they are what? Husband and wife. Hallelujah. That is only a counterfeit of the original model from the beginning. Because in the original model, God put male and female and joined them together to form one unit called man. And he blessed that union. Hallelujah. You see it? And that is what God wants to bring to our remembrance today. God wants us to remember this original model and to walk back into it. Because when we understand this original model, the blessings of God are ours. The unlimited spiritual blessings are ours forever. Hallelujah. You know, in the earthly model, they say, till death do we part. For better, for worse. To death do we part. That means already they realize that when they die off, they part. But this particular model of God in the heavens, this spiritual model, is a model that endures forever, eternally in the heavens. It never passes away. Hallelujah. They are united in one forever. Because in that realm, there is nothing like death. Hallelujah. In that realm, there is nothing like for worse. Because all the things are being renewed every day. Hallelujah. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. They are new every morning. That is the word of our Lord. We go from glory to glory, from joy to joy, hallelujah. From peace to peace, from prosperity to prosperity, hallelujah. From fruitfulness to fruitfulness, hallelujah. And nothing evil shall be part of our portion, hallelujah. Amen. So, what is this male and female that God is talking about today? This male and female that formed man in the beginning. We're already seeing a picture of Christ, the Spirit, and the church. Hallelujah. That man in the beginning is a union between Christ and the church. Hallelujah. It's a union of uncountable spirits in one, in Christ, so that they become one flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Let's quickly go back to the Bible. Read the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, Paul talks about this particular model and he classifies it as a mystery. We call it mystery because men have forgotten the original model. See, we call it mystery because men have forgotten the truth. Man's understanding has been veiled. Amen. And in the veiling of man's understanding, the sacred truths of God become a mystery. Hallelujah. But thank God, mysteries will pass away, tongue speaking will pass away, because from the least to the greatest, everyone shall know God. Everyone shall know the truth at the end of the day. Hallelujah! The work of the ministry is to unveil these truths, so that the people are set free from the dungeon of corruption. Hallelujah! Men are languishing in the prison cell of death because they do not know these truths. They do not know what God has freely given to them. Oh, hallelujah. So let's quickly go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Let us look at this mystery here. Hallelujah. From verse 25, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church without, you know, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Oh, hallelujah. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. Oh, hallelujah. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Many people have tried marriage in this life and it never worked. Some men have divorced over and over again, and they, you know, some women have, they've divorced 2-3 times, and they've never found the right, you know, partner for themselves. But I say, seek ye first the things of God. First, seek ye the things of God, and the other things will be added. See, we have to make right the greater thing first. Then we can see a manifestation of the goodness of God in our lives. Get to understand what that marriage is, that great mystery, that high mystery, that mystery that, you know, can, you know, lift us up from our present sufferings into a place of eternal joy and prosperity, delights. Hallelujah. Paul is saying here that Christ is the male counterpart and the church is the female counterpart. And Christ gave himself for the church so as to perfect her and to present her unto himself. So in union, in marriage, in oneness. Because when she is now prepared, she joins herself back to Christ in that oneness, in that union, so that they become one, but not two, one flesh. One flesh. Hallelujah. We are his body. If you see me, you see the Christ. If you touch me, you touch the Christ. Hallelujah. This is the mysterious marriage that has been from the beginning. This is the male and female union that God was trying to reveal to us in the beginning. Hallelujah. That man in the beginning is not complete without this union. Christ is not complete without we, the body. We, the church. Hallelujah. Neither are we complete without Christ. Hallelujah. You see this in another letter to the Corinthians. Amen. Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says that Without, you know, the man, without the woman, the man is nothing. And without the man, the woman is nothing. They become something when they unite in one. And what happens in the natural realm when a man unites with a woman? What happens? When they unite in one, they become one flesh, and the one flesh is actually seen in the seed. Oh, hallelujah. The one flesh is seen in the seed. And that seed is the seed of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. All you ever need for your prosperity, all you ever need for your promotion, for your, you know, for your peace and glory is to recognize your marriage to Christ from the beginning. You are not your own body, but you are of Christ. You are His body. This is the thing that has been from the beginning. Many people have run away from this knowledge. Many people have strayed away from this knowledge in Adam. All along we've been sleeping in this world, ignorant that we are Christ's. We are one with the Son of the Living God. We are the Son of the Living God. And ignorance has caused us to suffer many things, to suffer disease, to suffer fear, torment. Because, you know, inability to recognize Christ on the inside denies you access to the Father's presence. It is our ability to recognize Christ, to know this truth, that gives us access to God's presence. Hallelujah. Amen. So let us go on. Go backwards to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own what husbands. Hallelujah. Amen. You see what Paul is saying here? We have to learn to be subject to Christ. See it? We have to learn as the called out. As the Lord begins to give us knowledge, we have to learn to be submissive to Christ. To be submissive to Christ means that He is head of our life. We are servants. The woman, the female counterpart, is there to be a helpmate, to serve the Lord. See it? Why the Lord is there to bless her and to give her His very best. In this world, when a woman marries a man, she inherits his name, isn't it? She inherits all that is his. So is it in the model, heavenly model. When we are married, united with Christ, we inherit the name of Christ. Our name is changed onto the new name. That's why the prophets, Isaiah, the book of Revelation, talks about a new name. God promising to give us a new name. He gives us the new name of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And when we have that new name, it's no longer we but Christ. Amen. We have to learn to be submissive. Submissive unto the Lord. Amen. We have to learn to be, you know, faithful. Faithful. See, the thing that caused Adam and Eve, you know, to fall was simply unfaithfulness. Hallelujah. Like the Bible says, Adam, who represents the spirit in this context, never really committed any sin. He never sinned. He cannot sin. He cannot lie against his own. It was the woman who was tempted and who sinned. It was the woman actually who transgressed that, you know, sacred union from the beginning. Because she united herself with the serpent. Hallelujah. She united herself with the serpent. Now quickly turn to the book of Timothy. 1 Timothy. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let us begin to understand certain deeper truths about the transgression of Adam. See, when you talk about the transgression of Adam, you are talking of that body. You see, that body ceased to function, you know, in the blessings of God simply because there was a putting asunder. What God had joined together was put asunder by the serpent. See, and that is why man today has inherited the curse. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 11. Let a woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, not to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing as they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Amen. Now let us understand what Paul is trying to say here. You see, Paul was writing this letter to Timothy. Timothy is a spiritual child of Paul who grew in the ministry of Paul. Hallelujah. Brethren, let us understand that this communication with Timothy is a spiritual type of communication. Most of those things written to Timothy are spiritual truths. See, there are certain brethren I will come across with that I might speak a language with that the ordinary man might not understand. See, but we are all encouraged to learn the heavenly language so that we can understand the things of God. God is giving us a new tongue, giving us spiritual understanding so that we can speak things that are heavenly. Amen. So you can see that the person that transgressed in that relationship was the woman. The spirit cannot transgress it against itself. The spirit is the spirit of truth. Christ is Christ. He cannot lie against himself. See, the woman, Eve, representing the soul, the female counterpart, is the one that actually, you know, got deceived. She joined herself to the serpent, which represents the flesh, which represents carnality, which represents the wisdom of this world. See, and God's commandment was what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Man, the knowledge of man, the system of man. See, the mortal carnal knowledge of man is the thing that put asunder the relationship between Adam and Eve, that put asunder that marriage model, male and female, from the beginning. Hallelujah. What happened actually is that Eve, the soul, became a fornicator. She united herself with the serpent. And to this day, she's still fornicating with the serpent. You see, the man of the dust, the soul united himself with the dust to bring forth all the suffering we see in the earth today. She loses her place in the Garden of Eden, and they're all, you know, they're cast out from God's presence as a result of this, you know, this fornication. See it? The female counterpart is supposed to receive only from the Christ, only from the Spirit. Like Paul said, she's supposed to be silent in submission to her master, to her husband, Christ. But she went away. Seed and received from another. And she brought shame. You see, she brought a curse. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to understand that the thing that has brought about problem in the earth today is simply because we have united ourselves with man. We have committed fornication with the systems of man, with the intelligence of man, with the wisdom of man. And the wisdom and the knowledge of man leads to death. It is fixed on a carnal material world. It does not know the things of God. He does not know God. He is dead. His eyes fixed on vanity. Oh, hallelujah. And the moment Eve, you know, unites herself with the serpent, from that moment onward, man, you see people with the mark of the beast. The serpent is the beast. You see people now with the mark, you know, of carnality. And there is a wall of separation between man and God. Man does not know God. Man sees God as an entity far away. He sees God as an enemy, somebody, you know, looking out to destroy him. But Christ is here to restore that relationship. The bridegroom is in our midst now to get his bride back from the serpent, from the usurper, hallelujah, from the liar. Amen. He is here to collect his wife and to restore her, to purify her by the washing of the water of the blood and the blood of Jesus, hallelujah. To transform her and to represent her unto himself, perfect, without spot or wrinkle, so that they can once more walk in the blessings and in the fullness of that glory that God designed from the beginning. Oh, hallelujah. It's very important we know these things. These are spiritual truths that God, our Father, wants us to know if we are to prosper in anything that we do. Oh, hallelujah. We have to get back, recognize our Master, recognize the Spirit of Christ within us, and unite back unto Him. Hallelujah. It is only when we submit ourselves unto Him and allow Him to regenerate or to transform us that we can now receive once more the joy of our salvation. Oh, hallelujah. Like Paul said in that letter to Timothy, he says, the woman shall be saved in childbearing as she continues in faith, in charity, in holiness, and in sobriety. Hallelujah. By childbearing, you only give birth. You give birth as you unite with your husband, isn't it? It's when the male and the female unite that they give birth. The seed represents the new creation. Hallelujah. The only way we can get the salvation is as we unite back to Christ, as we unite one back to the spirit man. Uniting one with the man of the spirit. The one who is from the beginning, who is known of God. Then we can begin to bring forth that image of God once more. Because the man and the woman is what forms that image, that creation that was from the beginning with God. God wants us to enjoy it. God wants us to get back into experiencing bliss. Hallelujah. God wants us to return to the garden of pleasures. Hallelujah. He wants us to realize once more what love is all about, what joy is all about. That is why he's revealing this model that is from the beginning. Male and female, the two shall be one. Hallelujah. The two shall be one. The veil is being lifted up from our faces now, and we are now beginning to know the truth. Hallelujah. That we are not our own, but we are the Lord. We are one with him. Hallelujah. This is all that God wants us to recognize. Amen. And when we have come to that place, hallelujah, all things shall be possible. Dominion is restored unto us. Hallelujah. It is that day that you shall call things into being. Things that are not, as though they are. Oh, hallelujah. This is the power that God wants to restore to the church. Amen. Because everything that is His is ours. Amen. We inherit all things with Him because we are His body. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to... Let us look at this diagram here and let us see what this diagram says. I'm not a good artist, but I'm sure we can at least get something out of this. This particular diagram here shows a trend, a spiritual trend. It's either we are going up this mountain or we are going down. See, where the place that Adam finished off in his transgression is actually the lower part of the earth, which is at the foot of the mountain. The lower part of the earth. See, this is the realm where death reigns. This is the realm of the flesh. This is the realm of carnality. See, this is the realm where people live according to their natural senses. And they are therefore not aware of the things of the Spirit. See, they are not aware of the glory of the spirit world, of the spiritual, where God's presence can be found. Amen? And this is the realm where Adam transgressed into. Amen? Adam was actually generated at the summit of this mountain, which is Mount Zion, but he fell. See it? He fell to becoming of a man that lives according to his natural instincts. A man with a beastly nature who does not know God. And a man far away, infinitely far away from the presence of God. As a result, he perishes because he's cut off from the source of his life. Amen. This is the realm where people, you know, recognize man, you know, of God, then other things will be added. When you have this model that is of God, then you have every other thing. Every other thing will follow. This is God's promise, isn't it? So the spirit of wisdom and revelation now comes to reveal to us a model in the heaven. See it? And this model is Christ and the church. Amen? We have to divorce ourselves from the realm of man, from the realm of carnality. We have to divorce ourselves from being united with the mind of the flesh. You know, the serpent in the garden represents the mind of man, mortal man, the carnal mind that is set on this material world that crawls on the dust. We have to divorce it. Our soul has to divorce itself from the carnal mind. And we have to now get married to Christ. See, as we do this thing, we are lifted up from the earth. See it? We are lifted up from the lower realms of death. See it? This is the marriage that will bring us to, you know, the salvation we are seeking. It is the only way we can get back to the Father. No one comes to the Father except by me. So when we are married to Christ, it is no longer us but Christ. We become one flesh. We take the name of Christ. It's no more Trevor, it's no more, you know, that sister, that brother. It's now Christ, the man from the beginning, the Son of the living God. We now become one in Him, one flesh, amen? And when this happens, we now have access to the Father, because in reality, eternally speaking, Christ is married to God. See, we are seeing here a threefold marriage. We, the church, married to Christ, and Christ married to God. Oh, hallelujah. You will see these things in Hallelujah. I'm trying to look for it. Somewhere, I think I registered it. Somewhere. In one of the letters in which Paul, you know, wrote to the Corinthians, he mentioned specifically that, you know, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. See it? And the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. You see it? The head of a woman is man. The head of Christ, you know, of the church is Christ. That's the head of man. And the head of Christ is God. Meaning that God is married to Christ. See, so that Christ and God are one. It's a spiritual, eternal union. So that when we are married to Christ and we are totally His, and He has put down everything in us, so that it is only Christ and Christ alone in us, then we are presented unto God the Father for marriage, for union. So that what the world now sees is actually God Himself manifesting Himself through us. We're talking here about the mystery of godliness. See, God manifesting Himself through us. We find ourselves in God's kingdom, ruling and reigning like the way it was in the beginning. But this thing can happen only through marriage. When you are married, you are, you know, you become your masters. See, when you are married, your head rules over you. You now become the responsibility of your head. He takes care of you, and you serve Him in all humility, and, you know, with all sobriety, holiness, respecting your bed honorably, and not, you know, being driven up and down, idly, fornicating, joining yourself with the other man, which is the man of the flesh. Don't you know you are the body of Christ? That you are not yours? So you have to recognize these things, brethren. When you recognize it, then you begin to realize God once more in you. Then you begin to understand that you and God the Father are one. Hallelujah. This is the marriage that is from the beginning. And this is the marriage that we all have to return to, brethren. Back to that male-female model in the beginning, being one. Then we can have that dominion, the peace, the joy, and every other thing that we ever need. Hallelujah. So instead of, you know, struggling day and night on how to fix your own things, try and fix that spiritual marriage up. Fix up the marriage in the heavens. Fix yourself back with Christ. Learn of Him. See it? Unite yourself with Him. And let Him now become the master of your life, ruling you, leading you. See, receive knowledge from Him. See, Christ, receive the mind of Christ. Substitute it, you know, without your carnal mind. Remove, you know, let the carnal mind be no more, the man of the flesh, and receive from the Christ. As you do that, He transforms you, regenerates you. Until you come to the place where you are Him and He is you. And in that day, you will discover that you are in God the Father. This is the essence of the whole gospel, to bring about this sacred realization. Amen.